So, post-Trafalgar, how does the Royal Navy develop?
In fact, the Royal Navy's manpower increases after Trafalgar. If you look at the actual numbers of sailors in the Royal Navy, it continues to grow. The Royal Navy is running hundreds and hundreds of vessels. We're talking about nearly 900 ships are in the Royal Navy by 1810. All this coastal stuff, protection of the coasts against small-scale fighting, is vitally important. Coastal raiding is vitally important. Protecting the sea lanes globally is very important. So the Royal Navy continues to blockade France. The French, of course, rebuild their navy. They're constructing warships as late as 1814. When the war ends, Napoleon is still building warships to try to replace warships. So the British do have a big task there in blockading in the Mediterranean, in the Atlantic, in the Channel, and so on. The bulk of their warships are deployed in keeping the French bottled up, and so on. So it's a massive job, yeah. They also, of course, support expeditions in the Mediterranean. The British are active militarily. They put troops into Sicily. They take over Malta. They obviously go to Egypt on a couple of occasions. So the Royal Navy is involved there. They take the Cape Colony, which has been Dutch. So the Navy's there, the Navy's active in the Indian Ocean. You have a war with America in 1812. The Navy's active on the North Atlantic coasts. So, you know, they are very, very active, but it's in fairly small-scale operations. There's no big battles, but there are lots of scraps, lots of little fights.